This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. As the days are winding down of Ramadan, and you know, we're in the most the most precious days of the year and of Ramadan, and that's the last 10 days of Ramadan, specifically the last 10 nights of Ramadan, where we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this last period of Ramadan that it is protection from the hellfire. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are protected from the hellfire. And Allahumma ameen. And when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, about Laylatul Qadr, this powerful and holy night, what she should say, and he said that we should say the following du'a: Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. And the meaning of this du'a is really beautiful, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His attributes is al-afu. And afu, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot of attributes that denote His mercy. And this specific one is one of the most, one of the highest, because it doesn't just talk about covering up a sin, like al-ghafoor, for example, but this is actually talking about completely obliterating the sin and taking it completely off of our record. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loves to do this, that He does this for us. He removes our sins and as if they had never committed them. Allahumma ameen. Now, the topic I wanted to touch upon today is a very high station in the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a form of worship, of ibadah of the heart, which is one of the highest levels. It is contentment with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's rida. And when we talk about rida, rida is something which it's really the highest level that we aspire to reach. And the reason for that is that when we are faced with a hardship or a calamity, we can respond in, one of three ways. One way we can respond is the wrong way to respond, which is with impatience and complaint and resentment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the person who, if things don't work out the way they want them to, they feel anger towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the attitude of why me, or how could this happen to me? And it's a lack of either sabr, it's a lack of both sabr and rida. But it's the way that we as believers want to make sure that we are not reacting, because this is the reaction which makes that calamity itself a punishment upon us rather than something that is good for us. And we know as believers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that everything is good for a believer. Every matter that comes in the path of a believer is good for them. And the reason is that if it's something that we like, then we are content, and so it's good for us. And if it is something that we don't necessarily want, we're still patient, so it's good for us. And so the response of a believer, if the believer has the proper response, every matter in our life, anything that comes along our path will be good for us. And we can see this in our own lives, that whenever we had situations where we responded properly, it ended up being good for us. And so the first, again, the first response is the response that we don't want to have. And that's the response that makes this calamity not good for us, but rather a punishment for us. And it gets at the question of, a lot of people ask this question of, how do I know when I'm being tested? How do I know if this test is a punishment for me or a blessing for me? And the way in which, the scholars explain that the difference has to do with how you respond. Your response is what determines whether that test is good for you or bad for you. And if you do respond with impatience and resentment and anger towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a sign that this actually is a punishment for you. And this doesn't mean, when we talk about the second level, which is sabr, you know, that we respond then with patience. Having responding to a hardship or a calamity with sabr does not mean that you don't feel pain. It doesn't mean that you don't, you know, even cry. It doesn't, sabr does not contradict feeling sadness or feeling pain. As we know, we know that, for example, in the stories of the prophets, that Prophet Yaqub, for example, when he lost his son, and how much he cried about this, that, you know, until he went blind. And so the idea here is that obviously he was in a state of, you know, he had sabr, but that didn't mean that he didn't feel sadness at the loss of his son. And so sabr is the second level, and that's the response that we as believers are told to have. That's the response that we're in fact commanded to have in situations that face us. And that is to have patience, even if it does hurt, even if it's difficult, but we are striving to be patient. And as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, the way to get patience is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to get sabr is to strive to have it. So this is the person who is trying really, really hard to not complain, or is trying really, really hard to have sabr. That's tasabbur. And so when you're striving to have patience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and gives you sabr. And that's the second level of the response. And that's really what a believer should have as a requirement. And then there's an even higher level, and this is the highest level of response, and that is the level of rida. And that is not only that I feel patient, I'm patient at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings me, but I actually am content with it. I actually am pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to me. And if you look at the concept of sabr, you know, the second level, when we respond to hardship with sabr, our reward for that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes our sins. And this we know from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that any time that any hardship or loss or sorrow that a believer encounters any of these things, their sins are removed from them like leaves falling from a tree. And the Prophet ﷺ says that this is even the prick of a thorn, that even that removes sins. But in order to have calamity, you know, in order for calamity to have that effect, we have to respond with sabr. If we do not respond with sabr, then it doesn't have that result of removing our sins. And then when you look at the third and highest level, which is rida, and that's to be pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and to be content with it. In that level, it's even beyond just the removal of sins. But this level actually means that with the calamity and when you respond with rida, it actually elevates your station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It elevates your level in nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so rida is a level that we all, aspire for. And it's the highest level. It isn't expected from everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask from us more than we can bear. But it is the goal. It is what we aspire to as believers. But at the very minimum, our response should be, even if internally there's turmoil, we still restrain the self and be patient without complaining of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, that's different than complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that even the prophets did. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, after Ta'if and everything that he had to encounter, his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so beautiful. And in the dua, he is saying that I complain only to you. And this is what the prophets did, is that their complaint was not of Allah. Their complaint wasn't, oh, Allah has done this to me, and how could Allah do this to me? but their complaint was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way that you go to a friend and you complain and you confide your weakness and your own, and your pain, and that's in fact something which we should do. We should go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our pain and with our weakness, and does not contradict sabr, but rather is something that we should do, and that's to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, I'll take a break now, and when we return, we'll discuss more on the topic of rida and what is the meaning and significance of this station. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We're speaking today about a very high station, which is the station of Rida, and Rida meaning contentment and being pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being pleased with His decision. And when we look at how it is that we can respond to things that come our way in our life, when things don't work out the way we want them to, how is it that we can respond? And there, we talked about three different ways that we can respond. And one of them is complaint. And we, as believers, are told to, you know, that that will only make, that's harmful, actually, not only for the hereafter, but for our life here, to respond in that way. And second, the second level is the level of sabr. And to have patience, that's the level where it is painful, but we still are controlling that complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're being patient. And the highest level is rida, and the rida is that I am actually pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to me. And one of the most beautiful examples that I've heard of this concept of rida is if you think about, someone in your life that you absolutely love, and you think about that person giving you a gift. Now, you can think about this person that that you're in love with that gives you this gift, and then think about another person who you don't, necessarily really care much for, and they give you a gift. Now, if you look at, the two gifts, it won't matter. Suppose that the person that you're in love with gives you a dandelion. I don't know. They give you something that doesn't really have necessarily, it wouldn't be something that most people would get excited about, I guess. And then someone else who you don't care much about, they gave you a bouquet of roses. So, usually that would have more value. But to you, which one has more value? Which one is more... which one's going to matter more to you? It's going to be the gift that came from the person that you love. And no matter what that person gives you, it's going to be precious to you. And it's going to be, you're going to love it just because you love that person. And the other gift, no matter what it is, it's not going to be as special. And so if you think about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, if we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that we strive for. If we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then anything that He gives us, we love. And this really is the concept of rida, that we are pleased with anything that comes from Him, with the understanding that this situation or how this thing worked out or what I was given or what I was not given, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withheld, all of it came from Him. Who is the source? Who is the decision maker? Who is the one giving this gift? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if I really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will love anything that comes from Him. Any gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be something that I love. And this is, again, why this is the highest level, because rida can only come out of love. Rida can only come out of having first a very, having that very, very high station of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot have rida. Because rida, again, comes from knowing that this, because I love this, the source of this gift, I love the gift, no matter what it is, whether it was what I was seeking or not. But because I know who was the giver and I love the giver, I love the gift. And so this response to everything that comes our way is the most lofty response. And it's the response that makes the abd, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get higher in their station, in their nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one of the, you know, in every single moment that we live, there's always one of three options, or at least one of three options that we can choose from. One is, at every moment in time, there is some commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that needs to be either obeyed, or there is a prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that needs to be, you know, that you need to stay away from or avoided, or there is a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qadr, some sort of decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to be patient about. And so if you look at your life and you look at every moment of your life, the way in which you can live this life as a constant ibadah, you know, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinn and humans except for one purpose, and that is to fulfill ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be a abd, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is our purpose of creation, then that means it's something that we can do at every moment of our existence. If it was just restricted to something that we do once a week, or, you know, once a year, or twice a year on Eid, or you know, in Ramadan, and that's it, then it wouldn't be the purpose of our existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that ibadah is something so much greater than just a few religious rituals. That ibadah is something that could, because this is the purpose of our existence, it must be something that we can be in a constant state of. It must be something that we can do throughout our life, at every moment of our life. And the way to really be able to do that is to look at every situation in our life, at every moment, that which of these three options are there? Is there a commandment that I should be obeying, a prohibition that I should be avoiding, or a decision or a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should be patient with and even higher level be pleased with? And if I look at everything in my life that way, then I can make every moment into ibadah. And so if you look at those three options, you'll find that the one that we, even as believers, tend to fall short in most often is the third one, and that is the qadr of Allah. When Allah gives us something in our life and we're not pleased with it, and we don't even have sabr, we don't even have patience in it. This is, even as practicing Muslims, this is usually the part or the aspect that we fall short in most, is being able, how do we respond to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we respond with sabr? Do we respond with rida? Or do we respond with, you know, complaint and impatience? And one thing that we really have to realize as well, and one example that I gave recently was, if you think about going to, for example, a surgeon, when you're going to a surgeon, and this is something, you're basically putting yourself in a very vulnerable position when you're going to a surgeon. And so what you're going to want to do is look for someone whose credentials you absolutely trust. You're never going to go to a surgeon who you're not really sure whether or not they graduated from med school, right? You're not going to trust your life to such a person. So what you're going to do is find someone whose credentials you trust. Once you find that person, you know, this is like the top surgeon in the nation or whatever in that particular area. Once you find that person, now when that person is basically doing the procedure on you, are you complaining about it? Are you criticizing? Are you worried about, you know, wait a minute, you're doing this wrong and you're doing this right? You're not doing any of that. In fact, you've completely given up. You've given your trust to that person, and you're if they tell you, okay, I'm going to need to do this, this, and this, you're not going to say no. You're going to say, yes, I'm pleased with whatever, you know, plan you have, and I know that you know best, and it's in your hands, and I'm going to trust that. And so you think about this situation. The reason why you can do that is because you trust that person's knowledge. You trust that person's abilities. You trust that person's experience and their credentials. Now imagine if you were in a situation where you didn't trust the doctor's credentials. You weren't even sure if they graduated you weren't even sure if they really are licensed to practice. In that case, you're going to be very unsure, and you're going to be sort of looking at each decision they make and being very, you're not going to be pleased with that decision, any decision that they make. Now, when we look at our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we know His credentials? Do we trust His credentials? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we really know Him? Do we really understand that He is Al-Hakim, that He is the most wise, and Al-Alim, and He is the one who knows, and He's the most knowing, and that He has power to do everything, and He knows better than we know. I mean, if we really understand, and the more that we can understand these credentials of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the easier it would be for us to not question His plan. Because the same way we don't question the plan of the surgeon who we trust. And even if we don't understand it, and that's very key, no one's going to say, no, you can't do any procedure on me. You know, you're going for brain surgery and you say you can't do any procedure on me unless I understand every single part of the procedure. Well, that's never going to happen. You're never going to say that, because you trust that you don't know what that surgeon knows, and that surgeon knows what they're doing. And you're not going to say that you can't do, in fact, you can't do any minute little step until I first understand it and you explain it to me completely. I mean, we don't even do that with a human being. Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if we think Allah, like we can trust the credentials of a surgeon and not make them explain every little, you know, part of their plan, and we don't feel we need to understand it. And yet with the Lord of the universe, we feel that first that we can understand, you know, every single part of His plan, and second, that we need to, and we're entitled to, and we feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has this almost like an obligation to make you understand anything before He does it. And this is, you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of the universe. He's not a surgeon, not a brain surgeon, not just some human being. He knows what He's doing. And so the more we can really understand who it is that we're dealing with, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and who we are, the easier it will be to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have patience and actually reach a level where we can be pleased with His decision, because we know that He has our best interests in mind. One of the other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil. And a wakil is someone who you entrust. It's a trustee. So if I need something to be done and I can't do it myself, I entrust someone else to do it for me. And that person who I entrust, I choose that person carefully. It's somebody, obviously, that I trust because I've entrusted them with some matter of mine. And once I do that, I know they have my best interests in mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate trustee. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil. And if we really know that He knows what is best, not only does He know what's best, He wants what's best for us, and He has our best interests in mind, then we would give it, you know, we would have that trust and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do what He knows best and not question that and be pleased with His decision. So inshallah, I'll take a short break now, and when we return, we'll finish up on the topic of Rida. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We talked today about a very, very high station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is Rida, being pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When things don't necessarily work out the way we envision them, are we pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the more that we can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that we can understand and, witness His attributes, the easier it is to have patience and, you know, even higher, to have rida, to have, be pleased and content with His decision. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can reach this station where everything that we encounter in life, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it. And we don't question the plan, the perfect plan of Allah. And whatever He gives us, we're pleased with, even more so than, you know, we would be pleased with any gift that was given to us by someone that we love. And if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel that anything that comes from Him is beautiful. Anything that comes from Him is good for us, and inshallah will be good for us in this life and the next. Inshallah, remember us in your du'as. We ask that in these last, that we take advantage of these last precious nights of Ramadan, specifically these last 10 nights. And tonight is an odd night, so inshallah, you know, try to take advantage of that and keep us in your du'as and the ummah, inshallah. Quli qawli hadha wa astaghfir Allah li wa lakum innahu ghafurur rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.